Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Like I always say, understanding is your portion today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The word will come into you. It will make things clear to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It will make the decision you are about to take, make you know that which is God's will. Yeah, you will know it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will not go to the wrong place.
Amen.
You will not miss your blessing.
Amen.
You will not miss the place that God created you to make an impact.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, God's word will produce in your life again today.
Amen.
It will heal everything.
Amen.
Every day healing is coming to you.
Amen.
You are healthier than you were before.
Amen.
And it's manifesting again today.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seat. Before you do that, just shake somebody on the left or on the right. Tell the person, welcome. You are blessed. Greet somebody now. Tell the person, welcome. You are blessed. You are wise. Yeah, tell the person you are wise. You could have gone home to sleep. You could have gone home to watch a match. One major way by which people are wasting their destiny, you know. Well, you've come to listen to the word of God. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now let's open our Bibles. We have been looking at the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to continue again today. And let's just read that again, just as a way of starting. John chapter 15. This was where we began this from, trying to get a point clear. And I've been saying it again and again, knowledge in the realm of the spirit is not intellectual information alone. It is spiritual weight gain. What you know shows up as your spiritual size. If you eat a lot of physical food, you get a lot of physical size. The food of the Spirit is the knowledge of the Word of God. If you feed yourself with God's Word, in the realm of the Spirit, you gain size. When demons are passing, they know what you know. It shows. I quoted this man the other day, Neville Johnson. Neville Johnson said, somebody asked him, can demons read your mind? He said he told the person they don't have to. What is going on in your mind, it shows on your face. It shows in the aura that's coming out of you. It shows in the color that you emit in the realm of the spirit. Neville Johnson said the realm of the spirit is very colorful. It's very, very colorful. If I put that, add that one to what Kenny Higgins says, it also smells. Yes, it smells. If fear is all over you, you release that scent of fear. And the dogs of the spirit will come after you. That's the way it is. That is what you know, it radiates. And that's why as a believer, you focus on knowledge. Let me say it again. Don't think it's just prayer. And that's why Jesus said, you abide in me and my words abide in you. That's the way it goes. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, that is when you will ask and it shall be given to you. It's not given to you just because, you understand, you are there asking. It is given to you because the word abides in you. We look briefly at the life of Hannah. That Hannah didn't just give God what she wanted to. Many of us just get up and vow vows the way we like to vow. God, if you give me 5 shirts, I'm going to give you 1. Are you getting my point? God said, if I needed a shirt, I wouldn't tell you. Are you getting my point? And as a matter of fact, that's how God is. He always prescribes what you can give to him. So Hannah only gave God what he said was already his own. That's the way it works. All right. So before we can make appropriate requests, we must be filled with God's word. That's the way it works. We must be filled with the word of God. And I was saying that knowledge, it shows up in the realm of the spirit. I don't want to preach that message again. We've been talking about it for some time. It shows up in the realm of the spirit as spiritual weight, spiritual qualities, things that you know, are inside you affect your radiation, your aura. So fill yourself with truth. So Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's interesting. You're just aware of something, and suddenly you are free. Why does it work like that? It's because something has changed. He said, the yoke shall be broken by the anointing. We said that anointing is not, I lay hands on you, receive it right now. I'm breaking the yoke. Generational yoke, be broken. It doesn't work like that. The yoke is broken by fatness. When you fill yourself with truth, your neck becomes thick in the realm of the spirit, and the bondage of Satan breaks off. That's the way it works. Your neck becomes thick in the realm of the spirit, and the yoke is something that they hang around the neck of the animal. So it's broken because you have gained weight. All right, when you are lean spiritually, they hang anything around your neck. No matter how much you pray. You know, there's one man that prays around us. My wife said, this man is praying as if they burden him to pray. You know, like burden, you know, any man is praying. And you want this prayer is as if they say, pray or you die. You know, they put a gun to your head. Stop praying. If you don't pray, I'm going to shoot you. If you are praying like that, you're not gaining anything. You understand? You're not. Prayer is stimulated by knowledge. All right? That's what we've been talking about. In fact, that's if you move to John chapter 15. Don't mind me. I wanted to say John chapter 17. Because I'm reading 15. It's exactly 17 I wanted to say. John chapter 17. We've been reading this. He said, Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. He now said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Let me just stop reading here. This is where our focus has been on. So knowledge, that's what it does. How do we gain eternal life? It is by knowing something. And now what we have been doing is to get to know Christ Jesus very well. That's what we have been doing, to get to know him. We're not trying to just get intellectual information in the knowledge of Christ. We know that that is the source of eternal life. If we know our Jesus, many people don't understand the name of Jesus. They pray in the name of Jesus, yet they don't recognize him. Are you getting my point? And they expect answers to those prayers. You won't get any answer. If you say in the name of Jesus, know what you are saying. That's what we are saying. Many people will come and say, Lord, you will give me, let's say, money. You will give me children. You will give me prosperity. And they say, why? They say, because last week when I was going, I helped the needy. Last week I was in church. They raised a special offering, and I committed to giving one whole month's salary. All my income for 1 month, I've committed to giving it. He said, the other day, I went, I visited the poor. I did this for them. And Lord, that's why you will do everything for me in the name of Jesus. That's total contradiction. That is total contradiction. That prayer you prayed is just saying, do this for me in the power of my good works. So, but many people say that because they don't know the meaning of Jesus. So Jesus is something you use to end every prayer as a Christian, not knowing the significance of it. You understand? There are those who go, ask God, break your word, break what you have said, do the contrary thing to what you have expressed, and they will ask in the name of Jesus. If you remember that Jesus is the word of God, you cannot ask God to do something opposite to what he said he wants to do and ask in the name of Jesus. They say, Lord, help me to lay up treasure on the earth. I am asking you in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, what is going on here? I said, don't lay up treasure on the earth. You are now asking me to help you lay up treasure on the earth using my power. It doesn't make any sense. That's what we are talking about. We must understand what Jesus, who Jesus is, and what he represents. If I'm praying the name of Jesus, what I'm doing is catapulting myself from one realm into another realm. There are different realms to get results in life. We can pray in the realm, and let me say it again. I've said this many times, but you know, we can't say this. No, people have to become very firm in the truth. You can pray in a place where Balaam can talk to you, where Balaam can argue with you. You can play in that particular realm. And that's what a lot of Christians are stuck. That's where they are stuck. What do I mean? Balaam will go there and negotiate and accuse. They will say, because Balaam was a very successful Dibia. That's a good word to use for our environment here. Balaam was a successful Dibia. He knew how to manipulate the things of the spirit and get the results he wanted. He was so successful that kings used to consult him before battle. We saw that. That's why Balak came to him. He was very successful. And that, people you call witches and you call them dibias around, you call them babalawo, that's exactly what they all are. They are people who just understand how to manipulate things in the realm of the spirit. If you go to a doctor, and a physical doctor, he knows how to use chemicals to manipulate what's going on in your body. He knows how to do it. You have pain in a particular area, he looks at it and says, what happened? I was walking on the road and I fell and I hit my knee and now it's swollen and it's painful. He knows what happened. So he will give you a particular chemical to fight against what happened in the physical area. So he will reduce the swelling and reduce your ability to feel the pain. And at the end of the day, you feel better. And the body takes time out to heal after that. The man has enough knowledge. Now that's what people don't realize. Such knowledge, how did he gain it? He went to school. They said he passed physics, chemistry, biology, and passed JAMB. And he gained admission into a college of medicine. And they began to teach him this, how the body functions normally. The first year, he learns that's the first year of real medical school, apart from the foundations. It learns how the body is arranged. Which cells are here? How does the blood flow? How does this one happen? When you shout, how does the person react? If you drop, the rest of those things. They now, after some time, they now teach him what could go wrong, and they now show him how drugs manipulate those things. It takes a full year learning what different drugs do to different things in the body. You know, if I my wife will ask me something, maybe one of our kids have a rash or somebody has a rash, and I say, no, don't put that cream. If you put that cream, you know, what that cream does is to reduce the body's reaction to an attack. And I say, in this particular situation, the body needs to react because that's a fungal infection. You know, so don't put that cream. You know, so, but this particular one, no, it's just something on the skin. It's in harmless. The body's overreacting. You know, so we learn all of these little things. At the end of the day, you give the person a degree, say it's a doctor. He knows how to use chemicals to manipulate what's going on in the body. It's training. In the same manner, some people have gone to learn some things. They learn how to use words to manipulate somebody's life. They know how to use his deeds to manipulate what will happen to him. It's nothing. No, I use that medicine thing to let you know that it can be learnt. It can be learnt. It can be learnt. Say the man is in, you know, you find he's like in a school of DBRship. Can I use that expression? You know, I don't know much about Igbo culture, but I know quite a bit about Yoruba culture because I grew up there and I learned some things, all right, as a child. There's a book they call Oduifa. That's like the book of Psalms that the Ifa priests they use. It's just like your Bible. They have words to use at different situations. They know how to bring a man's, you know, deeds and present them. Now, let me say this to you. God is the judge of the whole earth. They know how to bring a man's deeds and present them before God and get judgment against the person. They know how to do it. They know how to do it. They know how to do it. The other day, you know, I gave the illustration here before. A woman whose husband was persuading to commit adultery. Her husband. Of course, the moment I heard it, I just told the person that told me that, listen, this woman, her life is in danger. Somebody wants to kill her. And listen to this, they don't have enough accusation. When these guys go to do things, what you call witchcraft and all that, what they need is accusation. They need accusation. They don't have any power in themselves. What they are accusers. They are accusers. They have to accuse. And it's not every accusation that God will grant the power of death against. It's not every accusation. So say, okay, well, how can we kill this person? This is the only thing the people will say, look, this is what you need to do. Are you getting my point? And I went to the office one. I was just seeing one of my colleagues, also a spiritual man. I just told the story. I had not finished telling the story. He just said, that woman's life is in danger. Her husband wants to kill her. And he can't. He needs her to do this, to give him the power. I said, exactly what I said. He said, that is Christianity. Are you getting my point here? We understand the way these things work. That is why, look, it doesn't impress me. Somebody saying he's a witch. Are you the first? Yeah, look. This, being a witch is a book matter. You read the right books, you know how to do the right witching. It's true. That's what I told you at the beginning. That's what I told everything I said about medicine and all of that. You can learn these things. Balaam was just a man that was skilled in it. He knew it well. Just like you can have people travel from one part of the world to another part to go and see a very skilled doctor. They can do that. In the same manner, Balaam was skilled. He was skilled. He knew how to manipulate the forces, you understand, of the spirit to get something done. They can, look, that's why I tell people, look, let me just by the way, that there are many reasons you avoid iniquity. Many reasons. The most important reason that it's not your nature is displeasing to God, your Father. But let me give you another reason. It's unsafe. It is unsafe. It's unsafe. That's how Satan, evil spirits, put a hand into your intestines and hold it there. That's how they do it. That's how they connect to your circuit and start manipulating you. Once I, those days, I remember he told me about one policeman, a detective. Said went to one of these funny churches, all these shrines that put the name of Jesus somewhere to deceive people. And this is they don't wear their white garment much anymore. They now wear suits. You understand? But he went to one of those churches to go and investigate the particular case. The person telling me later said that by the time he was done with the investigation, he had become a member. He will earn his salary and go and sub him to the senior prophet. The senior prophet will give him what he wants out of it. A detective, a police officer who was now under control by one of those funny prophets. And when I heard the story, I laughed. I said, how did they get him? It's very easy. And this guy is, that's what Bible calls being bewitched. There are many levels. But when I heard that man's story, I said, listen, he had eaten something he was not supposed to eat. They gave him a bribe he collected. Or the worst of them, they gave him a woman he slept with her. I said, the man sold his destiny. He just went there and donated to them. The prophet knows what he's doing. Your gun can't deliver you from that one. It can't. I told the person that told me, I said, look, if he wants deliverance, I can. I was so certain. I said, I will give it to him. That one is simple. I said, go and get one of, not even him, get me his wife or one of his adult children. I'll solve his case in 5 minutes. It doesn't take time. I wasn't joking about it. I said, this one, we have solved cases like this before. I said, just get me his wife or get me one of the adult children who I can talk to, who can pray with me. And I'll break that hold over that guy's life in a few minutes. I got the fellow I was thinking, I look too small for the fellow I was talking to say, you can't be serious. Because it was a family friend. Because I could, in my mind's eye, I could see the spirit, just manipulating him. What I'm talking about here today is how they got him. It's how they got him. It's how they got him. That's what sin does. Sin just makes you, that's why Jesus said the prince of this world is coming. But he has nothing in me. And he tries to look for where to hold. There's nowhere to hold. After I have to keep on telling people, this fear of the devil, we have it wrongly. We think he has a kind of power that he can't afflict anybody anywhere. If he could, why does he tempt? Think about it. He doesn't have to tempt if he had the power. Why he tempts that he doesn't have it? That's one reason why people avoid iniquity. It lets Satan manipulate you. And if you do that which is wrong, that's why you quickly confess and wash away that thing. That's why John said like this. He forgives you of your sins and cleanses of all unrighteousness. That stain is what the devil holds on to. Like I was talking about prayer. That's one level of prayer. People can get to that level where they are fighting with Satan. They can pray at that level. That's when people pray with their good works. That's when people pray and say, God, I have fasted, you must listen to me. But there's a second level, which is our main message for today. And that is praying from the realm of Christ. That's the one I'm actually talking about. There's a way of abiding in Christ. That when you're talking, God is hearing Jesus talking. And when the so-called enemies want to accuse you, it's Jesus that's talking. What accusation do they have against him? And those are the places where we don't pray in any other way apart from the promises of God that Jesus paid for. We don't pray any other way apart from laying claim to that which Jesus has done. That's why I've been doing this series. To let people understand, this is what life is about. This is what Christianity is about. For us to understand that if I say in the name of Jesus, this is what I mean. So that's why that prayer I said earlier, you can't pray it. If it comes to your mind, because it's bringing you to a level where you'll be arguing with people. You argue with spirits. When time we stand there, I'll be talking, because you must know what it means to be judged. God as judge cannot say, I won't listen to this person. That would be unfair. As judge, he's bound to listen to everybody, including the devil. But you have to know where you make your claims. That is when you are before his judgment throne. When you are there arguing with people who can say you didn't do this, you are leaving yourself, lose. You are leaving yourself, you are removing your shield. When you get in there, you abide in Christ. You come in there. On what basis have you come? Come on the basis of who Jesus is and what Jesus did. And let me tell you which one I want to talk about today. Let me say this. At that point, the voice of Jesus is amplified on your behalf. What you are doing is that you are connecting with what he's saying concerning you. Because one job he's doing right now is that he ever lives, the Bible says, to make intercession for those who draw near to God by him. Ever living. He's speaking about you all the time. You can cut off what he's saying or you can amplify it with your own words, with your own attitude. I found out, just studying scriptures, that the main thing that Jesus is doing is praying all the time for you and for me. But we can say, this your prayer will not work. We can say it. We can decide that what he's saying concerning us will have no effect. We can say it. And let me say something, that's what it means to be a Christian. To have God praying for you. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Not that you are doing your own works to get something. That you have God uttering his own words on your behalf. That's what Christianity is. That's what Christianity is. That's why, you know, I keep on saying something, People say, talk about Christian. How are you sure your own religion, in quotes, is the correct one? I always say, okay, let's even see the claims of your own religion. On a fair level. That we're not saying you're wrong. We're not saying anything. We're just, okay, just lay down your claims. And let's just claim anything you like. Let's balance it against the claims of Christianity. If you really understand it, you will know that there's no comparison. You can't compare the two. You can't compare Christianity with any other thing. You can't. You have religions founded by dead people, sinners, who if they have to open their mouth will be begging God to forgive them of their own sins. If they have to pray, you see, the Bible says that, look, every high priest chosen from amongst men, first of all, has to offer what? A sacrifice for his own sins. People are busy trying to beg God, don't kill me. They can't pray for you. They can't. Jesus is the only person. You see, the Bible says that he didn't have to offer any sacrifice for his own sin. So as he was pouring for the sacrifice, it was for you and for me. If Buddha was supposed to save, he's too busy trying to save himself. Muhammad is busy trying to save himself. Krishna is busy trying to save himself. And this is not, look, I'm not speaking negatively about anybody, but this is, they know. I said, how did Paul Ginodu become a Christian? He was from a Muslim home. His mother sent him abroad to get him away from rivalry in the polygamous home that he was in. And they said he had not prayed for a long time, so he was owing so many prayers 5 times a day, times the number of days he had not prayed. And he saw a man minister the healing power of God, and he saw somebody visibly get healed in his presence. So he said that this Jesus must be real. Now, he didn't mean that his own religion was false. That was not what he interpreted. Just, okay, so Christianity is also real. So this Jesus is real. Muhammadan religion is also real. Now, what happens? They now told him that Jesus offers forgiveness. So all these prayers I have not prayed for the last 2 years, 5 times a day, I don't have to pray it again. They said no. That's how he interpreted it, no. So he said, well, Jesus, thank you very much. This is your way. It's the way, the truth, and the easier one. Indeed, your yoke is easy. And your burden is light. It was much later, he now began to understand deeper truths. But that was the reason he gave his life to Christ, Paul Ginodu. He wrote a book, those days, I think I read it inside it. Believer's Authority, one of the books he wrote when we were in school, those days, we read this book. Please, I hope you're getting the point I'm making. That is what Christianity is. Let's understand it. Like I said, as this knowledge is coming into our hearts, what it's doing is that it's giving us spiritual strength. It's giving us spiritual weight. So when we say, who is Jesus? What we are doing is that we are understanding him so that when I want to pray next time and I say in the name of Jesus, my voice has a different quality in the realm of the spirit. It has a different quality. Let me tell you something. Solomon said it like this. God made men upright. They sought out many devices. The truth is that we need to, you know, is a wrong thought, let me put it like that, is a wrong thought, wrong ideas, wrong concepts we have in our minds, they are the wrong devices They are the devices that are preventing what God wants to do in our lives from manifesting. We want to pray, we are thinking wrongly. We want to pray. There's something about our hearts that still says that, you know, I need to deserve what I'm going to get. So a church declares, let's say, 7 days fasting, which is, like I said, if you do it properly, it makes sense. Just know, you need to know what fasting is. It's not the hunger. I don't want to start preaching that message again. You declare 7 day fasting. And in time of prayer, these are things I've heard before. And the pastor now says that those who fasted, God will hear them. Those who did not fast, God will not hear them as much. And he was referring to hunger. You know what that's, really, that's a matter of fact. What that does is that when people come up to the place of prayer, they have this, those who fasted, they have this confidence that they will be heard more. And like I said before, listen, if such things ever come to your mind, please pause and clean them away. How do you clean things out of your heart? Talk about them. Release, it's called confession. You say, Lord, you know what? You know, we've been on a fast for the last 5 days. And I've been very faithful with it. And you know, as I was about to pray, now it came up to my heart and I realized that because of those 5 days of abstinence from food till 6 o'clock, you are going to hear me. Having thought about that, I realized that I must have smoked something. Are you getting my point? She said to the Lord, please, my hope is not built on that. My confidence to approach you is because I'm coming in the name of Jesus. My reason for approaching you, what is giving me confidence? Just say it. When you say it, your body will cool down. Please, I can't say these things enough. You want to ask God for money, it's good to ask for money. If you need it, go ahead and ask him. But sometimes the body will remember that last month, you gave until it pained you. You gave heavily. And believe me, you should. Christians should be givers. Like I keep on saying, if you are not a generous giver, you are a practicing sinner. You choose one. You are walking in unbelief, which is sin. You are walking in unbelief. You are trusting in money. Alright? So Christians should be givers. However, back to the person who gave generously. He now wants to pray. There's something in the body that says, for the amount of dedication I had shown in giving to other people, God will give to me too. It comes to your mind once in a while. It's not your fault. It's because you have heard so many things preached like that. Pause if it comes and talk about it. Say to the Lord, you know, I was about to ask you for money. I'm going to get to it in a moment, but let me settle this matter. Last month, I gave heavily. The month before, I gave not as heavily, but in fact, the last few years, I have been generous in giving. Now that I'm about to ask you for money for the first time in a long time, I feel like you owe me some things. And Lord, I just want you to know, it's the bad thoughts, it's all the evil spirits that are telling me that thing. I'm just confessing it to you now, so you can cleanse it from my heart. Lord, I am not asking on the basis of what I have done. I am asking you because, one, you love me. Jesus died for me. I have your word. I have your promise, and Jesus paid for to make those promises mine. That's the reason why I have come. I know you love me. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Take that out of your heart. That's real faith. That is real faith. That is real faith. That's real faith. That's you understanding who Jesus is. Very important. Let's not bring our prayer to the level where the devil will just be scattering it anyhow. You utter a word, he utters another one, it's neutralized. People don't know it happens. You utter a word, Satan is there. He utters another one, your prayer is neutralized. You utter one, he utters another one, and your prayer is neutralized. Don't let it happen. There are all kinds of temptations that will reduce your faith. I said that, I don't know, on Tuesday I said it. Let's not ever forget this. Temptations for good people is not to do what the world calls evil. Be careful about that. Temptation for good people, if you've been going to church, learning the word of God, Satan will not come and be tempting you with rubbish. He won't. You will find maybe $1,000 in an envelope on the road. Satan will now say, take it and take it. He knows you won't do that. He knows you will take the money, open the purse, check whether you can find any address of the owner. If you can't find, you will seal the money somewhere and announce a certain amount of money was found. If you're looking for your money, contact me on this number. And you will quiz the person to be sure he knows exactly, you know what I'm trying to say. Okay, what currency? And okay, you now find that that's what you will do. No matter how hungry you are. Why? You have been taught with the word of God. So Satan will not tempt you with that. Like I said, God doesn't consider it temptation. And for it to be called temptation, it must be tempting. If it's a temptation, it has to be tempting. If it's not tempting, it's not a temptation. So how does it tempt good people? It's with good works. When Satan wants to tempt you, he will make sure you finish returning that money and tap your shoulder. Say, you know you're a good man. You just know your problems have begun. When you start nodding, you say, yes. See the way you return that money, yes. If I were you, I would ask God for anything now, and he will do it for you. And he says, it's true. You now kneel down. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to pray. What you are thinking of is that you saw my honesty. Listen, that's why Paul said, let him that thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. That is what slips them into error. Let me add this one to it. It's from those areas it starts pushing the person to real serious evil. That is the one that everybody will understand to be evil. They start with things like that. Alright? That's how Satan does. Those are the kind of temptations. He tempts good people, in quotes, with good things. And I'm saying again, those are the areas where he can hinder people's prayers. He tempts them. Leave the realm where I can talk. Come down to the realm where you and I can argue. Come down to that realm. That's why sometimes people who have sinned are able to receive from God. And those who are doing righteousness, they can't get from him. That's the reason. Because the sinner comes down like Jesus said, and say, have mercy. Why? I have not done anything. For what I deserve is killing. As I mentioned, the temple should be beheading me. That's why he didn't lift up his eyes. Why? It's easier to cut your neck if your eyes are lifted. He just came in very humbly. Look, Lord, have mercy on me. You know, couldn't raise his hand, was beating his chest. Because if you raise your hands like this, they chop it off for your iniquity. So he kept his hands down. Have mercy on me. But the other, and Jesus said he went home, how? Justified. To be justified means to have your prayers answered. The word righteousness is the basis for which God responds to you. So if you are justified, you are declared righteous. The other one, he has done a lot of good works. Lord, I thank you. Because I'm not like other men. First line. I fast twice a week. I pay tithe of all that I get. I said that guy must have been a modern day Pentecostal. What does that tell you? Many of us are Pharisees in practice. Yeah. I'm not even like other men. Pointing to the other fellow. I know you won't listen to him. What does he have to say? So they leave there. That guy gets a breakthrough. The sinner. The righteous man gets nothing. That's the temptation of a good man I'm talking about. The righteous man could also get everything if he knew how to play that card. You should walk in there and say, just as I am, without one plea. Like that song goes. That's it. You should go with that song like that and utter it to God. That's when he gets things answered. We're talking about the Lord Jesus. So the Lord Jesus is the reason why God listens to us. Everything is expensive in the realm of the Spirit. I think I described it here last time. Where was I preaching? Either here or Makodi. I explained that, listen, there's nothing that God wants to do for you that doesn't cost. It's very expensive. It's who's paying. That's the difference between Christianity and other things. It is who's paying. As per cost, there's nothing that is free. As per cost, it is not free. We can monetize, we can calculate in physical terms how much it costs to get some things done. Jesus gave us an idea. He said, check how Solomon, all of his glory is. He said, now listen to it. He was not as well dressed as one of the flowers of the field that lasts for 24 hours. What does that tell you? What it cost God to beautify a flower for 24 hours was much more than all the gold that Solomon wore at a time, including his golden crown. It has a cost. So when you hold a flower, know it's expensive. Treat it with a kind of respect, gratitude to God. If God used that energy with which he keeps a flower blossoming for 24 hours, if he used it on metal, you have a pound of gold in your hand. You have 10 pounds of gold in your hand. He says Solomon, in his best dressed state, was not as well dressed as one of the flowers of the field. It means that it cost God more to keep that flower than to dress Solomon up. So nothing is free. If God utters a word, it's not free. Christianity is who paid? That's what Christianity is. If you go to Islam, they tell you you have to give alms. These are the things you do. And there is no assurance of salvation. But in Christianity, they say, I know everything is expensive. But somebody has paid. Jesus paid. That's what we're talking about. What did he pay with? The most expensive thing is life. Life, that's the costliest thing. That this earth ever sees. Everything in the realm of the spirit is put together to keep life going. The spiritual substance, this life that's in him, was what he poured out as payment. That thing is so rich. There's nothing it doesn't cover. That's who Jesus is. That is why you utter his name in prayer. I mean, it's like the richest man in the world gives you, he tell you, look, I've loaded an account with all the money that I have. And you're a student in a school, a university, Nigerian university. And he gives you his card. Say anything you need, just use my card. You don't have to ask him how much is there. But there's nothing you want to need. I mean, you're a student in school. So to speak, you're a human being on this earth. What do you want to need? They say, please, you need to buy a new textbook. You just go to the bookshop. They say, buy this or this. They bring both of them. That's how it works. Bring both of them. You look at it. Do you have money? No, I have a card. You put the card in. You know it will work. If they say, transaction is not going, say it's your network. It can't be my card. It's your network. And you will patiently wait while they solve their network problems. And it will go. You get there, they say, pay school fees. You give them the card. You just keep showing the card everywhere. You just keep dropping the card. Why? The person who funded it has too much money. The fellow has too much money. So you are not restricted. To you, everything is free. Are you getting my point? But we know in reality, it's not free. It's just that you have a card that pays for everything. And you are not the one that labored to load that bank card with money. So for you, technically, everything is free. It's eating time. You carry all your friends, your birthday. You go to the most expensive restaurant in town. And you have 50 friends and 50 enemies who are converted for 24 hours. After it's your birthday. All of them eat. And you put the card there. It will still cover. And because that man gave you money, doesn't mean he stopped making money. Are you getting my point? He's probably making more money than you can spend. They said Bill Gates. I think he's currently the world's richest man again. No, he's held that position now almost at least 4/5 of the time for the last 20 something years. Okay? They said he makes money faster than you can pick it up. One particular year, this was not now, years ago, paid him $4 point something billion 1 year dividends. One particular year, $13 billion was what this guy made in 1 year. Warren Buffett. Now that kind of person gives his card. If you like Chris, they spend money. There is nothing you can do. There is nothing you can do. What are you going to do? I saw a movie long ago called Brewster's Millions. They told Brewster to spend $30 million in 30 days. He said he couldn't acquire any asset. He couldn't give out more than 5%, couldn't waste more than 5%. Every money you spend must get value for it. That was a joke. After 2 weeks, he was tired of money. He woke up in the morning thinking of, how do I spend this money? And when you don't have, you think I'll do everything. He did everything, the money didn't finish. The Lord is good. Now, what I'm talking about is that what Jesus did for us. So, spiritually, that's what he did. He funded a spiritual account. Nothing is free. Every promise of God has to be paid for. If he says the Lord is your shepherd, and for that reason you will not lack, it has to be paid. I'm the Lord that healed thee. For it to be real in your life, it has to be paid for. Somebody has to pay. If he says, I will make all grace abound towards you, you will have all sufficiency in all things, and you will abound to every good work. It's a promise. Somebody has to pay for it to make it real in your life. Somebody has to pay. And that's why many people make the mistake. Because you know, when you know half truth, it's not good. Some people know up to this level, they now start making demands. This Sunday morning, you will say, God, you will not forget me. You will bring an offering and say to the Lord. That's one thing we do in Christianity that's so wrong. And why do we do it? Because, I mean, for those of us who are ministers, you understand. Because they feel like Christians are not responding enough with generosity. So the outside, they start twisting the doctrines and taking away from Christ. And that's something you must never do. He's been very patient, but it's not good. Let's not test his patience. We that preach, be cutting away from Christ Jesus regularly. It's not good. Like I tell preachers, people are not giving you, think they should. There are two things you do. If you think it's a fundamental problem of spiritual development, teach. They will learn it. If you think it's an issue of they don't know, directly ask, say, guys, this man of God is hungry. Please, somebody give an offering. There's nothing wrong. No. See, the fact that I'm not doing doesn't mean it's wrong. It's better than twisting the word of God. This man did it one day now. What is his name? Ora Roberts. He did a program. You know, not like Nigeria where the hotel will collect their whole money before you go open the door. Because they know, say, once you go, you don't go. He did a program. They will allow you use the thing they expect that you will pay. And they took offering. Assuming it was owing for those days, $500. They collected offering, $125. They said, time to come and preach. He said they are not serious. His wife went and met him in the office. Honey, it's time to speak. He said, I heard the offering is $125. I'm not coming out. What is his reason? He said, who's going to pay for the hall? I'll finish preaching. All of them will go home. So what did the wife do? The wife came out and said, please, guys, ladies, there's a problem here. The man of God is not coming out. Why? They've checked the offering. And he's not happy. That you people want him, you want to leave, then he'll be saddled with the debt. Please. So what do we do? Borrow me your hat. Can I borrow your hat? Collected people's hats and decided passing hats down the road. Put money in it. When they came and counted, it was complete. The man of God brought out his Bible. All right, open your Bibles to the book of John. It's not the ideal, but it's better than twisting the word of God. Now, one of the things is that so many times we Christians, that's why when we use half truth, we know a bit of the truth, we now start telling people, yes, these things are not free. So today you are going to give God something special so as to make the promises yours. That's wrong. You are taking away from Christ Jesus. You shouldn't. You should not. Christ has paid for it. Deliverance is expensive, we know, but he has paid. It's expensive, we know, he has paid. Healing is expensive, we know, but he has paid. He has paid. All the promises of God, they are confirmed in him. Once they promise, you can't pay for it. There is nothing you will do personally, okay, to make the promise yours, more than believing that he has said it and that he has paid for it. If you try to now labor to make the promise yours through an effort that you can lay claim to, you are taken away from Christ. You are taken away from him. You are offending him. You are insulting the blood of Jesus. Let's open our Bibles. So we're talking about that Christ Jesus. What I've been trying to get to is concerning that which he's doing for us today. Many Christians remember that he died for our sins, and that is true. We talked about that before. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Now, sins that we committed, and just by the way, sins are so easy to commit. It's literally true that there's sin of commission and there's sin of omission. Jesus said that the ones that does not know what to do, and for that reason does not do it, will get few stripes. He did not say he will not get any stripes at all. Oh, that's how it is. People don't understand what sin is. There are things that you do every day, if they take the word of God and show to you, you know that this is iniquity. Now, and you did not know, that's why you were not doing what was right. Are you getting my point here? Assuming you didn't know, and they kept poison on the table, and you drank it. Let me ask you, would the poison say, no, I won't kill this one? He did not know. He won't say so. That's how sin is. Sin is not just disobedience to an express instruction. Sin is disobedience to the order of God, even if you did not know about the order. Because when David went to carry the ark of God, when he wanted to bring it back to his proper place, He omitted to check how to do it. And for that reason, he was walking in sin, even though he had a good heart. For his time, for his season, Abimelech took a woman which for his time and season was not wrong. It was a single girl, sister to a man. God instantly spread trouble into his home. Why? He said, you took a prophet's wife. God said, Abimelech said to God, I did not know. He said, that's why I bothered to come and correct you. He said, now, go and get the man, let him pray for you, restore his wife, and then everybody will be healed. They were already sick. So if you want to argue, that's what I tell Christians, don't argue what you have done right. There are too many things you have not done, and that is sin. Job was a man who, the Bible says that he was the most righteous man in his time. A perfect man, God's testimony. He hated evil. That's what the Bible says. God said he eschewed evil, if you see King James. The man hated doing evil. But when he stood up and thought, my righteousness should speak for me, God said, let me tell you what state of righteousness you are dealing with here. The Lord began to tell Job things that Job could never have imagined were sins. You ask, when I was creating the universe, where were you? And Job said, where was I? Believe me, without the blood of Jesus, we can't approach the Father. We don't have it. We don't have it in us. We don't. No matter how righteous we think we are, we can't. And that's why Jesus came, to make it possible to approach the Father. He came to open a new and living way. Through his flesh, through his body, his blood was shed to make it possible for you and I to approach the Father. It's not possible to approach the Father if Jesus didn't do that. So we'll talk about that. So that's what happens. He forgave all our sins. David's sins were forgiven because Jesus died. They were committed long before. But David used to offer animal sacrifices. That was a sign that he believed in the forgiveness, in the mercy that God was going to provide. So when it happened, instantly, it was credited to his account too, that Jesus paid for his sins. Everybody that related with God had to have a hope in the coming sacrifice of Jesus. Now, before I go, listen, let me tell you something about Jesus Christ, all right? I thought about this, I thought I would like to start from that. I'm just remembering now. You know, we're talking about Christ so that we know what we're dealing with here. Christ is not another founder of a religion. One of those things that happened on the earth. It's just a religion, managed to blossom. That's not what he is. Now, I want to say something, please. Listen to me carefully. I don't mean to be critical. Be very careful with all this Jewish-centered doctrine that's coming out from America and many parts of the world, and Christians have bought it up now. All right? The other day, Nnamdi Kanu was granted bail with conditions that could not be met. How will you meet that kind of conditions? Now, I'm not here taking sides. I'm not saying the judge did right or did wrong. But they said that they should go and provide them a Jewish rabbi because he said he's a Jew. And I've seen Christians, men of God, brag on the fact that they are Igbos and they are Jews. You've not seen that thing before? I was in a church once. I went there to go and minister. The big man in church said something which was interesting. One man came to circulate some information on CDs and all of that, how they could move Igbos who are interested to Israel. I felt like telling some of them, they will soon collect your money. You won't see that guy again. But I was a guest minister, so I closed my mouth. So the man got up and said, listen, everybody should pay attention to the things that I know where I came from. Let me say something to you. When you're a Christian, that was the problem actually. People don't understand what it means to be a Christian. They don't understand what it means to be a Christian. Once you're a believer in Christ, every other thing is inferior. You can't brag on the fact. If somebody proved to you now, you sitting down here, that actually your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was David, the greatest king Israel ever saw. If you are a true believer, you understand who Christ is. It's just curiosity satisfied. It has no meaning. Why? You've stepped into a higher level. Why do you want to brag on it now? You see, the Ethiopian people, they're bragging on the fact that Solomon impregnated Queen Sheba. Queen of Sheba, sorry. And for that reason, they are descendants of Solomon. You know, when you were still in Black Africa, before the gospel came, that would have had meaning.